It's time to think big with Big Alaska Guests, Big Alaska Adventures, and no good lying through your tooth to Alaska Tales. It's the Big Alaska Show. Coming to you from the studios of AM 750 KFQD and 103.7 FM and streamed worldwide at KFQD.com. I'm Mike Ford with Uncle Steve and some Big Alaska Show friends. It's our Big Alaska Show book review show. Featuring Stan Jones in his new book, Ghostlight. And joining Stan is our panel of authors, Lolo Page and Chris Forbes Lundgren. Plus, Mike Gordon is back with his new book, Dag Nabbit. Designed to raise your spirits and not your blood pressure, unless you're a guy named Mike Ford. Good morning, everyone. It's the Big Alaska Show.
And good morning. Welcome to the Big Alaska Show. Uncle Steve here and with my good buddy and co-host, Mike Ford. Mike Ford, good morning.
Happy Saturday, Uncle Steve.
It's getting darker earlier.
Hey, we're still at 9 hours.
That surprises me.
I know. Well, when it's cloudy, you know, and when there's precipitation, that makes a difference too. I think it just seems darker,
yeah. Right? Well, we're here to brighten up the day, especially for us Alaskans dealing with this. And we've got a packed show. And the first of all, this is our Big Alaska Show book review show where we feature our books and our Big Alaska Show book review section, which you can find at bigalaskashow.com. And our guests today are Stan Jones. He's got his new book that he's going to be talking about. And joining him is Lolo Page and Chris Lundgren, who are also authors that are on our Big Alaska Show book review section. And they're going to be, then we had a cool little panel. It's a neat little chat between them. Then the other author we have is one we've had on before, Mike Gordon. We have his book called Learning the Ropes, which is a fantastic book. And his brand new book is called Dag Nabbit. Just real briefly, Mike Gordon opened up a world-renowned rustic Alaska saloon called Chilkoot Charlie's. And they opened up in that 1970. And the story of Learning the Ropes is all about that during when the heyday of the pipeline and the money and all the stuff that went on with it. And a key figure in it is a guy named Reuben Gaines. And Reuben Gaines, you're going to find out more about who he was and the major impact he had on Alaska. In our case, where we grew up here, he was a broadcast voice. He was a writer, a very creative character. He ended up creating the character Chilkoot Charlie, which he gave that name to Mike Gordon, who named his saloon that. Reuben Gaines was like a father figure and a mentor to Mike. He did the old kind of style of stuff.
Yes, he did.
And he would create these characters. You found a little clip.
Actually, it was 1974, Uncle Steve, on KHAR Radio, which is 590 AM. And now it's 96.7 FM as well. But basically, he's just doing a regular show. And it's very entertaining. Because he does his own sidekick voice. So it's kind of like the dude may have had multiple personalities, I'm thinking. It's very good. It's good stuff.
And he would incorporate him into his radio show. Let's play that so people can hear a little bit about what Reuben Gaines sounded like.
Well, suppose somebody does spring with a crock of O'Coley Howe. What do you say then? Mahalo, amigo?
That's two languages.
Well, you're seeing double at the time.
I am not.
So you're going to hit the road, eh, Junior?
Yes, and it just happens to be time for the road report.
Fat mouth.
It's time now for the Heart Radio Road Report, brought to you by the new car sales, 1950 Gamble. Here's Gene Menzel from the Alaska Department of Highways with the latest report on highway driving conditions.
If I was that child, I'd avoid this neighborhood.
Overcast skies prevail.
On the Big Alaska Show podcast with Reuben Gaines, we did more stuff about Reuben Gaines, and you're going to find out more about Reuben Gaines in this show. And I just want to read something real quickly. Mike Dunham, who worked at the radio, and he became an arts editor and all that stuff, and a guy I grew up with, Reuben was a writer. He was a creative guy, and technology wasn't his strength. So this is what Mike Dunham writes. He says, For most of his radio life, Gaines ran morning shifts crowded with news, temperature, interviews, and characters of his own creation. Music was secondary. Ken Flynn remembered that of KHAR. Reuben was unpredictable and unmechanical. I'd show him how to handle the records carefully, and he'd nod. I'd go back to my office and hear a noise on the air, then Gaines saying, "Hold on, ladies and gentlemen, let me get my record off the floor." He'd cue records on the air. He'd make up sponsors. I was a 24-year-old fledgling program director wanting to have everything roped in, trying to be mature, and he kept calling me kid all the time. Actually, Gaines called everyone kid. His boss, Patty Harpel, recalled that when he told her he was retiring in 1987, he said, "I have to, kid. I'm starting to sound like Pop," which is one of his characters. So anyway, we're going to explore about more about who Reuben Gaines is on our Big Alaska Show book review section, Mike. Thanks for everybody joining us in the Big Alaska Show. But of course, Mike, we'd be remiss if we didn't start the Big Alaska Show out the right way.
That's right. We never let Harley near this coffee.
Beagle gas. Folks, the key to doing an early morning radio show, especially an early Saturday morning radio show, is a strong cup of coffee. And there's no stronger cup of Joe than Big Alaska Show Blend, the intense early morning coffee for intense early morning indigestion. That's why it's preferred coffee for Alaskan authors. Writing is no easy task, and waking up early to put words together that actually make sense sometimes requires a little motivational attitude adjustment. Enter Big Alaska Show Blend to the rescue. Just one sip of this caffeine-packed pile of dirt jumpstarts wordsmiths with an energetic boost to generate flowing phrases that may not make any more sense, but will certainly blister the ears of the censors. Bitter biting with a specific gravity of basalt. Big Alaska Show Blend. The intense early morning coffee for intense early morning gas.
Pour me a cup. It's time to get up and face the world, my friend. Pour me a cup. I can't get enough of that Big Alaska Show Blend.
And that's how we roll here on the Big Alaska Show at AM 750 KFQD, 103.7 FM, and we're streamed worldwide at KFQD.com.
And welcome back to the Big Alaska Show. I'm Mike Ford with Uncle Steve. Our show brought to you in part by Neighbors Windows and Doors. They're Alaska's window experts for windows, doors, shower doors, affordable glass replacement. Neighbors Windows and Doors at 6251 Tunnel or online anytime at neighborswindowsanddoors.com.
And thanks for joining us on the Big Alaska Show. I'm Uncle Steve, along with my good buddy and co-host Mike Ford. Today, we're featuring our Big Alaska Show book review section that you can find at bigalaskashow.com, and go to the book review section. You'll find books written by Alaskan authors and interviews with them and links. Today, we're featuring Stan Jones' new book, Ghostlight, and joining Stan are two other authors. You'll find their books on our Big Alaska Show book review section as well. We've got Lolo Page and Chris Forbes Lundgren. And when you get these three together, it's a lot of fun, as you'll see. And welcome to the Big Alaska Show. This is our book review section panel here. We're talking about Stan Jones has a new book, and we want to catch up with Stan. And joining us is Lolo Page, who is an author, and Chris Lundgren, who is an author. Let us give a Big Alaska Show welcome to Stan, Lolo, and Chris. And Stan, let's start with you, because the last time we had you on, we discussed your book, Tundra Kill, and give us an update on what's been happening with that. It's been several months since we talked.
Yeah. Well, there's not a lot new on Tundra Kill, but the most hopeful thing I'm aware of, as you may recall, Tundra Kill is about a gorgeous female Alaska governor who becomes a murder suspect. So she is not modeled on Sarah Palin, of course, But I did observe with some enthusiasm that Sarah has begun hinting about running against Lisa Murkowski next year for Senate. And I can only think that will boost the sales of Tundra Kill. And I will certainly do all in my power to make that happen.
Are you going to change your position? This has purely coincidence?
I think I'll say it's purely fortuitous. So after Tundra Kill was a book called The Big Empty that actually I think had come out when we talked last. And just out at the middle of last month was a new Nathan Active book. That's the name of the mystery series, called Ghostlight. That's the big news in my book world.
I want to get to that, but tell briefly what Tundra Kill is about. Just a quick synopsis of that.
Sure. Well, it's set in the fictional Inupiat Eskimo village of Chukchi, which is closely modeled on Kotzebue, where I used to live. And the protagonist of the series, Nathan Active, is the regional borough police chief. At the time frame in which this installment of the series was set, a woman named Helen Mercer is the governor of Alaska. And instead of being from Wasilla, she actually is from Chukchi. So she comes back to town, somebody dies, Nathan starts to suspect that she may have been involved, and she starts to try to take him out through the Alaska State Troopers and various investigations to try to shut down his investigation. So the book is a fencing match between him and her. And not only does she use all the legal tools at her disposal against him, she also tries to seduce him. Can't remember all the details now, but maybe at some point even accuses him of attacking her. It's a definite melodrama with a forced landing in icy conditions in the middle of it.
Wow. Now, Lolo and Chris, when you hear this kind of all this intrigue, what comes to your mind when you're listening to Stan describe his book? Lolo, what comes to your mind?
I love that he chose the governor for a character, because I wrote a crime thriller where I kidnapped the governor's daughter. There's just all kinds of things you can do with Alaska and what goes on here. And like we were talking earlier with the news gives me a lot of my ideas. I mean, and I'll just jot them down and then you can just morph them into whatever you want, into fiction.
I can see a new series called The Assembly. Chris, what comes to your mind when you were hearing Stan describe? I mean, Lois is over there talking about the different intrigue and the different kind of web of characters that you can take this.
I've had the good fortune of being part of Stan's critique group for a long time, so I got to read some of these as he was writing them. I loved that book. I loved Tundra Kill, and we had lots of good conversations about it. What jumped to mind this time was the forced landing in a snowstorm of an airplane and remembering how gripping that was. And then also thinking of that in context of my own book with Accidental Adventures. And that certainly was an accidental adventure for Stan's character.
The only difference is yours are real.
Yeah. Yeah.
That story in Tundra Kill about the forced landing was semi-real, because it happened to a bush pilot friend of mine on a flight up near Nome. And he was going out to one of the islands near Nome, maybe, I can't remember which one. Anyway, on the way back, he encountered mixed rain and ice in the clouds or something, and the plane iced up, just trying to get it back to the shoreline before he made a forced landing. And he just came in right above the waves and finally hit the beach and put it down and landed, and everybody survived. But it was essentially that story that I adapted into the book. And I even got permission from him to use it.
Wow.
It was going to be so close to his description. And he, by the way, has written a series of wonderful books about Alaska bush flying called Cloud Dancers, Alaska Aviation Chronicles. And he might actually be worth getting on the show sometime. He lives in Fairbanks and was in radio in Kotzebue when I was there. He has a beautiful voice and he's a born storyteller, either in speech or in his book. So he's a wonderful writer.
Now you have a new book, Stan. Tell us what it is and what's it about.
It's called Ghostlight. The story starts when a demented old native woman named Tommy Leacock, her family can't completely manage her. So every so often she gets out of the house and wanders around Chukchi, that's the name of the village in the series, in the middle of the night. And one night she starts bringing back body parts. And so begins Nathan Active's investigation. The problem is she can't tell him where she's getting these parts because she's demented. He doesn't really have the forces, the manpower or officer power to follow her around every time she gets out. Plus, he doesn't know every time she gets out. So he first has to figure out a way to sort of track her when she needs to be tracked to find out this where this body is. And is it a murdered body? It could be a grave has just opened up with erosion or dogs or foxes digging. He doesn't know what he's got on his hands. So when he does find the body, turns out it has been expertly dismembered and hidden in a certain place. And still no clue as to how it got there or who put it there. That's what the book is about, finding out who put it there and what led up to the murder. You can see I had a co-writer, Patricia Watts. It's called Ghostlight for a couple of reasons. One is it takes place in August in Chukchi, which is just above the Arctic Circle. And at that time of year, it never gets completely dark. When the sun gets low, you get this kind of ghostly gray light. And she wanders around in this light and does all these. It's kind of a nocturnal book. And the other one is it's kind of a metaphor for the mental fog in which this woman operates. And there's an anecdote about how this book came to be I'd like to share. For a long time, I carried on a pen pal correspondence with a very elderly woman in Tennessee who was a Nathan fan. And her name was Tommy Leonard. And once she wrote me a letter and she said, I think you should write a book about an old woman who finds a body walled up in a house. And I said, well, why not? That's as good an idea as anything else. So I did that. And Tommy and I were in touch for a long time. And every time I did a book, I'd send her to her in manuscript so she could read it. And by the time I got this one ready, she was really old and in frail health. And so I sent it to her and she died not long after, sadly. Wow. But at least she did get to see the book, and the book is dedicated to her. Her name was Tommy Leonard. And when I told her that she was kind of the model for this old lady, and the old lady was named Tommy Leacock, she started signing her letters that way, Tommy Leacock.
Oh, that's awesome. What a great story. Great. What a kind gesture. Good for you. Mm-hmm. By the way, where can we get these books? Where can we get your books, Dan?
Well, I don't know which bookstores carry it, but I know for sure is where it is online. And it's available online everywhere, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and it's available in hardcover, paperback, and ebook. And an audiobook is in the works and should be out sometime relatively soon, hopefully by the end of the year.
Okay. Yeah. By the way,
I haven't checked the Anchorage Barnes and Noble, but in the past they've always carried them. So I should run up there and check and talk to them if they don't have it, actually.
Okay, great. Now let's switch gears and let's go to our panel. And let's start with you, Lolo Page. Last time we saw you, it was at Wasilla at the book signing for your second book. And I see all sorts of little announcements and this and that. I mean, you go ape.
Oh, it's been fun. Yeah, this one was about the fires on the Kenai Peninsula, loosely based on that. I had pulled my readers from the first book, Alaska Spark, and they wanted to see, you know, which characters to bring forward. And so they liked the exotic dancer and my Playboy guy, firefighter. So I put those two in the second book and I had to research exotic dancing. And of course, my husband thought it was weird when I'm watching lap dance videos, but hey, he didn't question it, you know. Yeah, it's doing really well. It just showed up in Publishers Weekly. I was so excited. In the book live section, Publishers Weekly has this for indies. And so that was fun. I pulled my readers again for the third book and they wanted sled dogs in it. So McKinley Fire came to mind. So that's what I'm working on now. But Inferno's doing really well. I'm really pleased.
I was going to mention the book is called Inferno, and you can find it also on our BigAlaskaShow.com website in the book review section. I got busted by my wife, Amy. You were calling it an exotic dancer, and I called it a pole dancer.
Well, the exotic dancer that I interviewed for helped me write that character, she said, well, we call it exotic dancing. We don't call it stripping anymore. That's so 70s.
Yeah, really. You know, we're guys. We'll go along with that. Well, you bet. Whatever you want to call it.
I just have to say, Lolo, if I had been your husband, I would have been happy to accompany you to any number of exotic dance clubs if you actually want to do your research on scene.
I'm with Stan. It's a form of respect, right, Stan?
Absolutely.
Well, he thought I was googling and watching those to do it for him. It's research. It's research.
Oh, you know? Yeah. You're the book you're working on right now. Do you have sort of a tentative date that you will eventually have this done?
This one's going slower because I have two other novels, two other series I'm launching, and I sent those two off to traditional publishers. I have one, a crime thriller, and another one's a romantic comedy. And so they're sitting with two trad publishers to see if they're going to publish them. So I got a slow start on this Alaska Blaze.
It's always fun to talk to you, and you're such an inspiration because you work so hard at both writing and helping market it, and you get out there and just do all sorts of things. Chris Lundgren, I want to come to you before our time runs out. We haven't had a chance to catch up with you since your book, which we can find at the bigalaskashow.com website there, the book review section. Accidental Adventures, Alaska, True Tales of Ordinary People Facing Danger in the Wilderness. And you shared the one story about this one young woman. It reminded me of a Wile E. Coyote. It wasn't enough that this happened, this happened, this happened, but then the ledge falls on her. Notice how I laugh at the misfortune of others.
I think the term for that is schadenfreude.
Is what?
Schadenfreude. Pleasure taken at the misfortune of others.
What are you up to these days? I thought you were going to be working on a sequel, sort of like Bob Bell, Oh No, We're Going to Die, and Oh No, We're Going to Die Too.
Well, there was some of that, a little bit of stop-start action on that, and I received some professional advice to put that aside for now. So I have moved on to a couple other projects, and I'm on one that I think has found legs. So I'm in the habit of kind of keeping that close until I'm comfortable and I've got it well thought out. But I'll be writing a book proposal in the next 2 months and submitting something to my agent probably right in the new year.
Chris, your background's very interesting, and I really like the little story about your first book. What was that about?
I've done some newspaper writing and all kinds of different things, but my first book was actually about running through a pregnancy. And so that one came about because I was looking for a book to read on, you know, how to safely run through your pregnancy and realized, oh, there's nothing out there. So I used my own experiences and ended up interviewing lots and lots of medical professionals and other runners and came up with that. So I just kind of fell into it because I wanted to read a book like that.
Oh, cool. It's always fun to have you on because you have a real perspective and you can really identify with what Stan and Lolo go through and yourself in writing these books and how much work it goes into it. You'll find Stan Jones' new book, Ghostlight, and his other book, Tundra Kill, as well as Lolo Page's new book, Inferno, and Chris Forbes Lundgren's book, Accidental Adventures, True Tales of Ordinary People Facing Danger in the Wilderness. Go to BigAlaskaShow.com, go to the book review section, and you'll find their books and interviews there.
This is Mike Ferris, president of Alaska Enterprise Solutions. As businesses return to work, the old office footprint might be a little different. These days, not all employees need to be in an office, and what used to meet your printing needs probably has changed. With less employees and less printing, are you paying too much? Let us help right-size your printing environment and reduce your printing costs. This is Mike Ferris, Alaska Enterprise Solutions. Visit us at aesalaska.com.
And welcome back to the Big Alaska Show. I'm Mike Ford with Uncle Steve. Our show brought to you in part by Alaska Enterprise Solutions. They're your authorized sales agent for Xerox in Alaska. Call Mike Ferris or visit him anytime at aesalaska.com.
And thanks for joining us on the Big Alaska Show. Uncle Steve here along with my good buddy and co-host Mike Ford. We're featuring our Big Alaska Show book review section that you can find at BigAlaskaShow.com. In that are Alaskan authors, interviews with them, and links to their books and their websites. This next interview is with Mike Gordon and his new book, Dagnabbit. You'll also find Mike's earlier book called Learning the Ropes, which is a remarkable story about a very amazing, colorful life. Mike owned and ran a world-renowned Alaska rustic saloon that he opened in 1970, and in it were the rough-and-tumble years when the Alaska pipeline was going, money was flowing, and a lot of bad influences, which Mike got wrapped up in, but he turned his life around, made the goal of climbing the seven highest peaks in seven continents. He also went on and got his undergraduate and his master's degree. So I'm here with Mike Gordon. And Mike, your first book is primarily about your life with Chilkoots. You're turning from a destructive life and transforming into a new life. And you seek climbing seven tallest peaks in seven continents, which you can find on our BigAlaskaShow.com website in our book review section. It's a good book, man. But you now have a new book. It's called Dag Nabbit, an anthology and a sequel. The questions that went running through my mind, the first thing I want to ask you is, what's this book about, and why do you call it an anthology and a sequel?
First off, it's a sequel and an anthology.
What did I say?
An anthology and a sequel.
Well, what the heck?
It's a sequel first. It's yes. An anthology second.
Does it make you question if I've read your book yet?
I'll take your word for it.
You're right. Dag Nabbit, a sequel and anthology. So why is it a sequel and an anthology?
Well, it's a sequel in that it returns to my life. It's a continuation of a memoir, and it has more history in it of the Anchorage experience, the Alaska experience, and broader, too, international experiences of my life. It doesn't have the climbing focus. It's more the historical focus. And as I mentioned a little while ago, I think a good description of it would be that I used a larger canvas and a broader brush to do it. It's an anthology because woven within the memoir are pieces that describe my life and my relationship with Reuben Gaines, who was my mentor and a towering talent in Alaska, who gave me the right to use the name Choku Charlie's in the bar and restaurant business and also drew my logo for me, as well as a sizable collection of his works that are interspersed.
We've discussed Reuben Gaines in the previous interview, but for those few who haven't heard our interview on the Big Alaska Show, take a moment to describe who Reuben Gaines was. I know it's a difficult task because he's a complex, very incredible character.
Well, he was Mr. Entertainment in Alaska for 50 years. He entertained literally the entire state of Alaska during the time of radio broadcasting. And he was, I can't imagine a more talented raconteur, radio broadcaster, with multiple personalities on the air anywhere in the world at that time with more talent. Mm-hmm. The man was one of a kind. And he had a program called Conversation Unlimited, and everybody put everything aside during that half an hour during the day to listen to Reuben Gaines. Mm-hmm. The subject matter could be anything. Whatever it was interesting and perfectly delivered. As I mentioned, also created the character Choku Charlie, the Titan fictional sourdough reprobate, and his sidekick Sixto Mordecai, while he was in Ketchikan, where he worked in the 40s before he came up to Fairbanks first and then to Anchorage. Mm-hmm. He made the transition from radio to television at the appropriate time. I remember that he used to give the weather report, and he would use his cartoons as part of that presentation. He had a duck that it's a standard character in all of his cartoons after a certain point. If the weather was going to be sunny, the duck would be wearing sunglasses. Mm-hmm. And if it was going to rain, the duck would be carrying an umbrella.
Right.
It's hard to overstate how important Reuben is to Alaska and Alaskan culture of the 20th century. Alaskans are in large part, we have a culture and a personality, if you will, that's unique in the world and that, to a great degree, the product of one man who loved Alaska, loved Alaskans, talked about it, and presented it in such a way that was unequaled by anybody.
He was such a unique writer, and in your book, it's peppered with, I counted maybe more, but I thought there were like 20.
I don't recall exactly how many. I've got all of Rubin's writings, mm-hmm. and I went through virtually all of them to pick out the ones that I wanted to put into the book. And I got a hold of, through you, Phil Gaines, who I had never talked about the project with until I talked to you, and you suggested that I contact him. He was very gracious and told me that I could use anything I wanted. And during the project, he and his brother John and his sister Christine all participated. They all read the manuscript and all made suggestions and comments on it. And they're all really pleased with the final product.
Oh, yeah. Phil Gaines is Reuben's elder son, and then John, his younger brother, and Christine, the older sister, all talented.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, in themselves. I'm still plowing through this book, but I got bogged down in reading Reuben's stuff, to be honest.
Good stuff. And you can probably hear Reuben's voice
yes.
when you're reading it.
That was something his voice was so distinct. Conversation Unlimited, I can still remember where I was listening to it. And Phil's got the same timbre. He does that same kind of, he can mimic his dad like crazy. John probably can too. But it's interesting because I have to find this because I was just thinking about that when we talked about Christine. And I thought she said something really cool in her little comment. Yeah. She says here, expresses their appreciation, really. And she said, I would like to offer a personal thank you to Mike Gordon for bringing our dad back to life in his no-holds-barred memoir. I've laughed, cried, rolled my eyes, and enjoyed another glass of wine reading Dag Nabbit. And she goes on to say, my dad was a world-class storyteller, and I know he was proud of Mike's ability to do justice to the art. I thought that was really a nice compliment from her and an appreciation of how much it meant to have, they grew up under their dad, and you know how it is, you know, familiarity breeds contempt, you know, but as you get away, you realize what a phenomenon their dad was.
Well, they all certainly realize what a phenomenon he was. Mm-hmm. And they're all proud of his legacy, and they're all very, very pleased with me for bringing him to the public attention again.
Yeah. I mean, her compliment saying doing justice to the art, because Reuben Gaines, for the few who have not listened to our previous broadcast, the Big Alaska interview with Mike Gordon, Reuben Gaines came from Hollywood. He was a writer and, you know, broadcaster and later, but originally a writer.
Well, he also had a very good understanding of music. And, you know, John played in a band for me, the leader of a band, Choku Charlie's. Phil plays the piano and who knows what else.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know about Christine, whether she's musically gifted or not, but I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
Oh, sure. Throughout your book are writings that Reuben Gaines has done. And I started reading those. You know how good poetry is, and you have to go back and read it and the flow of it and the context. And you talk about the importance he has of describing Alaska. We lived in a time that was really special in Alaska. It's still unique. When people hear we're from Alaska, it still draws interest. But we saw a side of it that we saw the people who have one foot's in the black market and the other foot's in the good, you know, in the Better Business Bureau, and then you got the guys that are on the line. But Reuben was able to see it from a perspective from a different culture and to see it in such a unique way and say it in such a unique way and embrace it with so much love and interest. I'm really glad you've done this because it's really important to keep his legacy alive.
And his perspective on Alaska alive.
Yeah.
We can ill afford to forget that.
And welcome back to the Big Alaska Show. I'm Mike Ford with Uncle Steve. Our show brought to you in part by Alaska Enterprise Solutions. They're your authorized sales agent for Xerox in Alaska. Call Mike Ferris or visit him anytime at aesalaska.com.
And thanks for joining us on the Big Alaska Show. I'm Uncle Steve and my good buddy co-host Mike Ford. We're featuring our Big Alaska Show book review section, which you can find at bigalaskashow.com. And we continue our interview with Mike Gordon and his book, Dagnabbit.
You and Reuben had a very close friendship. It was, you know, it was like friends, but he was like a dad to you.
He was my mentor.
Talk a little bit about that. You had a personal relationship with him, you had a friendship, you had a business relationship.
Well, I think you get a kick out of watching me. He got a, you know, kick out of seeing what I was doing with the club, and he was like, go kid.
Chilkoot Charlie's would be like what Moose's Tooth is to pizza today. You are a world-renowned, I call it a bar.
I call it a nightclub, I always referred to it as a nightclub.
Yeah.
Rustic Alaskan Saloon.
Yes, I like the Rustic Alaskan Saloon.
That's what it started out as.
Yeah. But you and Reuben were close for several years.
No, 25 years.
You took a lot of his works and donated them. What'd you do with that?
Well, originally, our arrangement was that for me to use the name the Chilkoot Charlie's in the bar and restaurant business. He was allowed to sell his cartoons and his records and his books. Well, he didn't sell very many records and books and cartoons in the club. Mm-hmm. He didn't sell very many, period. I mean, he was a creative genius, not a marketing genius.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, the bar, I used to liken it to having my hands on the bumper of an accelerating car trying to keep my legs moving fast enough to keep up with it because it was growing so fast. Mm-hmm. And by the mid-80s, the most remarkable thing that I never ever even conceived of was that the bar became better known than the creator of the character. I just never would have thought that. And I was making a lot of money, and Reuben wasn't, and so it was time to change our relationship, and I took him out to lunch and gave him a pension, essentially. Shelley and I used to take him out to dinner once a month, faithfully, and we took him to all kinds of different restaurants originally, just to mix it up a little bit. We liked sushi, but I never thought that Reuben would like sushi. I never considered Reuben as a sushi eater. And one night we took him to a sushi bar, and lo and behold, he took to sushi like a fish to water. He loved it. We never went any place but a sushi bar after that. Not a single time. He loved sushi. For a guy who had the most astounding memory and vocabulary and just sort of huge knowledge about all kinds of things, he couldn't remember what to call any of that stuff at the sushi bar, ever. All he knew was that he liked it.
Yeah.
So he was missed by the Sushi Association of Alaska.
You talk about he had unique ways of saying things. Dagnabbit.
Dagnabbit.
Why'd you call it?
Yeah, he'd say, you'd think a guy, he always used to talk about himself in the third person. You'd think a guy'd grow gills. Dagnabbit. Yeah. Dagnabbit was a phrase that Pop, who was one of his online characters, he was my favorite online character. Pop was this crusty sourdough. Reuben, in order to make his voice, would jut his chin out. I don't know how he got that far even, but this crusty old sourdough character. And Pop would frustrate him on the radio. He would argue with him, and he would criticize him. And he would do the Pfeiffer insurance ad that Reuben did at the time, only he would pronounce it Pfeiffer. And they would have, you know, arguments about that.
It's almost like he was an on-air ventriloquist.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, these characters were, I mean, he brought them to life. Mm-hmm. And to watch him do it was, I mean, it was fascinating.
You know, you got to see a remarkable thing. This is before digital anything, the camera. I mean, you got to see something that, too bad we couldn't record some of that to this day.
Oh, I mean, man, I can see it in my mind's eye right now, just like it was yesterday. I had been hired by Ken Flynn to work at KHAR, and I went in there every morning for a while, and I would sit there at the board. Reuben's job was to teach me how to work the board. So I got to watch this guy who was the best man in the business anywhere every morning. And Herb Shainlin, who was this character who, you know, did the news and so forth, he would come in every morning while I was there. And he would greet Reuben, and they would go to the teletype machine and get his information off of there. He wouldn't say a word to me. Yet about the end of a week, he looked up at Reuben and he said, "Who's that strange man?"
Herb was originally from New York. You know, he was a little bit of a efficient snob. Oh, I got along with him fine, but he was an older man then, you know.
Yeah.
And so, but I can see this.
Well, he wasn't a diplomat, that's for sure.
One of the things I like about both books, you have pictures. I like books with pictures. And you've got great photos in this book, Dag Nabbit. What I was struck by was Tiny Tim. You have a picture with you. Is it you and Shelley and Tiny Tim?
Yeah.
How the heck did you meet Tiny Tim?
Well, credit where credit's due. It was my manager at the time, Duran Powell, who came up with the idea of bringing Tiny Tim up for a show.
Yeah, baby.
And we had him on the stage with Tommy Rocker and Joanne, who was this dancer from the Bush Company, who was also a contortionist. It was all part of Stupid People Tricks, this show that we did at Chilkoot's. It was a takeoff on Stupid Pet Tricks.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And poor Tiny Tim, he couldn't keep his eyes off Joanne. He referred to as Pretzel Woman.
Tiny Tim.
He's up on stage with his ukulele, and Tommy's on the other side with his banjo, and Joanne's in the middle, standing on her hands with her legs crossed and practically naked.
That's such a strange visual.
And Tiny Tim, he must have stayed on stage for an hour after the show was over, signing autographs, and girls brought in, you know, bouquets of tulips for him.
Oh, sure.
He made that song.
Tiptoe Through famous, the Tulips. Oh, Lordy.
Tiptoe Through the Tulips.
How Tiny Tim, if there's ever been an indictment of pop culture, Tiny Tim is the epitome. I mean, but you got handed to Duran. I mean, what a vision. I mean, can you watch?
It was brilliant, I have to say. I remember when Tiny Tim was on the
Steve Allen show.
He was on the Steve Allen show. And I remember it was a black and white TV. I remember that. And Steve Allen was telling him that he'd better save his money. Because here he was, this nationally famous guy. But, you know, what Steve was saying was, this isn't going to last very long. You better hang on to your bread, kid. Well, he lasted a hell of a lot longer than Steve Allen ever would have thought.
Or any of us. I mean, just, you know.
He married, when he married Miss Peggy or whatever the hell.
On the Carson show?
Yeah, it was the biggest night that they ever had on the Johnny Carson show.
Anyway.
Miss Vicky.
Miss Vicky. Oh, my gosh.
And welcome back to the Big Alaska Show. I'm Mike Ford with Uncle Steve. Our show brought to you in part by Neighbors Windows and Doors. They're Alaska's window experts for windows, doors, shower doors, affordable glass replacement. Neighbors Windows and Doors at 6251 Tunnel or online anytime at neighborswindowsanddoors.com.
Uncle Steve here for the Big Alaska Show, along with my good buddy and co-host Mike Ford. We're featuring our Big Alaska Show book review section. Visit BigAlaskaShow.com and you'll find all these books, interviews, and links. We continue with our interview with Mike Gordon and his book, Dag Nabbit.
You know, you mentioned that this one doesn't have the climbing mountains in it, but you do have the Russia Elbrus in it.
Well, you know, because of the confines of writing a memoir, I didn't have room for a lot of material in there, and the trip to Russia was so remarkable that I felt like I had to go back to that and fill in what I couldn't put in the original book.
Yeah,
it was just an unbelievable trip, not for the climbing part of it, but it was during the attempted coup against Gorbachev. Things could have ended up a whole lot differently.
Yeah. You've got a number of pages dedicated to that experience, and it's a great piece of history, and a recent history. You have too much material, you couldn't get into one book. The other thing, personally, it's filled in a lot of pieces for me, because growing up here, most of my time growing up here as a younger person, there was a lot of things going on here that I didn't know the history to. For example, places to eat like the Garden of Eden in the most unimpressive location, Spinard, in a Quonset hut. So when you went by and people would say, oh, that's the best place to go eat, and you'd drive by and you go, really?
Says a whole lot about Anchorage and Spinard, Alaska at the time, that the best restaurant in town was in a Quonset hut, and not on a main street either, you know, back in behind off of Spinard Road.
I mean, imagine a really high quality place to eat in a trailer park is the only thing I could think, you know.
Yeah, that's a close analogy.
And then the other thing, as a personal, like I said, I knew your dad because he was a coach when I went to Central Junior High. I was around all these names you've mentioned of people I've known. I played basketball with the Chilkoot Charlie's basketball team. The reason you're so rich is the amount of beer you owe me, Gordon, you owe me. Anyway, one of the people who's a contributor to something they wrote in your book, a little blurb about it, makes a really good point. Regardless where you pick it up, any chapter, it's really interesting. But for me, I can identify with so much of this. And a lot of times I wonder, it's going to appeal to me, but will it appeal to people who aren't from here? My cousin came up here recently, and he got your book, Learning the Ropes. And he said it's great. So, did you ever consider if this would appeal to people outside the state of Alaska?
I think so. I don't think it matters whether you're Alaskan or not, mm-hmm. whether you could enjoy the book. I think the fact that it concentrates heavily on Reuben is more of an Alaskan appeal to it. But the rest of it certainly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Appeals to anybody from anywhere.
Oh, the train trip to
Charlton Express.
Charleston Express. I mean, we won't go into that here, but let me tell you something. I am impressed that you've survived. I mean, you weren't afraid to mix it up there, pal. You were a stud until you got decked.
Well, I didn't see that one coming. Yeah. You blindsided me.
Oh my gosh!
In the 70s at Chokey Charlie's, I never wore hand jewelry to go there at night because I worked the floor with my doorman. I knew I was going to get in a fight every night because that's just the way it was. You know, some guy'd start to walk out the door with a drink and you'd say, I'm sorry, sir, you can't take that outside. And the fight was on.
How many fights have you been in, do you think?
Dozens and dozens.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's why when I'm reading your story between Learning the Ropes and this one, just how amazing it is. So here today to be able to share this story. So finally, Mike, you were telling me your wife, Shelley, likes this one better because it doesn't concentrate so much on her.
Well, that was kind of tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, well, because I'm glad you said that because I think this is a love story, besides a sequel and an anthology, because when you go to the dedication, you said dedication for Shelley. Shelley should be one of Reuben Gaines's characters who's bigger than life.
Oh, he loves Shelley.
I bet.
I used to joke that if he'd been 20 years younger, we might have had a problem.
He probably objected. He says, why do you think it's not a problem
Shelley
now?
Shelley and I went through some tough times, like most people do in long marriages. There was a time when we'd lived apart more than we'd lived together. And during that whole time, you know, going out with Reuben and doing dinner with him, and if I'd show up without Shelley, he wouldn't say, hi, how you doing? He'd say, where is she? You know, and while we were eating, if it was just Reuben and me, and I ventured down that road and started to look for any kind of sympathy from Reuben, he'd say, hey, I'm on her side, man.
I've never met her, but I've seen pictures and the stories. I feel like I know her, or know her enough to know that she's the reason you exist.
Yeah, well, she tamed the beast.
Yes, she did. Oh, my gosh. I could see her going, my back's killing me. Thanks for doing this with me. It means a lot to me. This has been a great book. And I was thinking, you had more material than you could get into one book with Russia and Elbrus. I'm assuming that you still haven't run out of material. You're going into your third.
Oh, I've got plenty of material. Yeah. I'm toying with the idea of a fictional book. a novel. It's not coming easy for me. It's something I'm going to have to work hard at because it's an entirely different kind of writing. Mm. I've got a theme. I've got some pretty good ideas, and I'm going to spend a lot of time this coming winter working on it.
Wow.
In the meantime, I'm going to continue to write this kind of stuff that I've been writing.
Yeah.
So there might be another book like that. And in this book, I did characterizations of a number of different people. Mm-hmm. And I'm continuing to go down that road. I mean, I could probably do a whole book just on different characters like that.
Oh, sure, yeah. But I was just thinking, you're thinking about doing some kind of fiction. I mean, who's going to believe this?
Well, that's just it. You know? I mean, I can't tell all the stories. People wouldn't believe it even if I did. If I fictionalize the characters, then I can tell them. You know, I mean, I've got, it's just some stuff that you can't print.
Well, how many years did you have Chilkoot Charts, this rustic Alaska saloon?
45 years.
Yeah, okay. It wasn't corporate up here.
It was pretty crazy.
Well, Mike Gordon, congratulations on this book. It's going to be fantastic. We'll post our Big Alaska Show book review section, which will put you over the top financially. You'll be able to put a diamond ring around your bathtub. Mike Gordon, thanks a lot and appreciate the time. Look forward to your next. And the next will be an anthology and a sequel.
I don't think so.
So that's our show. And what did we learn? Well, we learned we have some very, very interesting characters and very talented people. And we encourage you to go to our Big Alaska Show book review section, visit bigalaskashow.com, and peruse through our book review section and support the authors who work so hard to share with us those interesting stories that we might not ever know without them. And to my baby girl, love you, and Mike Ford, why don't you take us out as you so eloquently do?
All right, Uncle Steve, we want to thank Stan, Lolo, Chris, and Mike for joining us. We want to thank you for listening. And we want to thank our sponsors, Neighbors Windows and Doors, Alaska's window experts at 6251 Tunnel, or online anytime at neighborswindowsanddoors.com. And Alaska Enterprise Solutions, they're your Xerox sales agent for Alaska. Visit them anytime at aesalaska.com. Remember, if it's Big Alaska Guests, Big Alaska Adventures, and no good lying through your tooth, tall Alaska tales, it's gotta be the Big Alaska Show. Have a great week, everybody.